so close. You almost made it. We went all the way through 2023, and that is the very first superhero clip that I have shown this year. You almost made it. But straight up, I just couldn't resist because it has a point. Today is the day we usually call Vision Sunday. Again, it's another one of those traditions I started when I got here. It's supposed to be the day when I preach a sermon that kind of lays the groundwork for where we're going to be going next year. And I'm going to sort of do that, but not exactly. Instead, since I left my manger scene up here and I left my candle up here, I'm really, what I want to do today is finish this. This is our Christmas sermon series, and we've been looking at the Christmas story from the perspective of John. And we've learned some very valuable lessons about Christmas because it is much more than a baby in a manger. It is much more than a tradition. It's much more than decorations. It is the moment at which God became human. My brain doesn't wrap that way. God became human. You see, because the baby in the manger was none other than Jesus, and we've learned through John chapter 1 that Jesus is the Word, not a Word. He is the Word of God. And, well, Jesus, the Word, is, well, he's not just the Word. He is God. 100% God. And, well, while he is 100% God, the Word became flesh, so Jesus embraced this idea of humanity, and those are the events that we celebrate at Christmas. But in the middle of doing all of that sermon, I skipped the middle part of the story. And so I want to go back and pick that up, but not before we go back and we talk about that clip. As we enter that clip, Thor has been in the middle of a battle. He's about to be defeated, and, well, as they kind of do in comic book world sometime, they kind of do a cutaway scene, and Thor finds himself standing before his father. And his father wants to have a very serious conversation with Thor, and I love the first thing that comes out of the father's mouth. Even when you had two eyes, you could only see half the picture. In the middle of the battle, Thor has lost one of his eyes. He's lost some of his physical vision. But he's not. The dad is not talking about his physical vision. He's saying, Thor, you just can't see the big picture. You see, that's because Thor thinks he's there to save a planet. Remember what he says? He says that Asgard has already been taken. Well, that is the planet that Thor came from. I didn't write it. Somebody else wrote it. I'm just piggybacking on it. And Dad reminds him of something. Asgard is not a place. It's a people. It was never about a physical space. It was never about a planet. It was never about a building. It was never about a city. It was always about the people that made Asgard what it was. And then my favorite quote from that clip is Thor is debating with his dad as to whether or not he can do what he's been called to do. He tells his dad, the problem is, Dad, I can't do it because I've lost my hammer. Thor had a magic hammer. It was an awesome hammer. He was the only one that could pick it up until later in the comics. And the hammer he always thought was his source of strength, but his dad quickly asked him this question. Are you the god of hammers? Really? You think that hammer was all that important to you? You get it. It was there as a symbol of who you were. It was there as something to help you focus your power. But it was never what you were truly about. You see, because Thor is not the god of hammers. If you're into Norse mythology, or if you happen to read comic books, we all know exactly what Thor is the god of. Thunder, and more importantly, lightning. The power to light up the sky. So this morning I'm going to transition out of that clip, and we're going to finish up our sermon series. We're going to talk about the one true light the light of the world. So I'm going to be in John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. If you want to grab a copy of the Bible right out there in front of your pew, right, this is where I'm going to be. And this is what it reads. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to a world which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or husband's will, but be born of God. Let there be light. The very first thing God ever created. Genesis chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And God said, his word, he said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated it from the darkness. Last service, we had all of the candles spread around, and we lit them all out, and we blew them all out. And then at the end, we took this candle, and we used it to light one candle, and then we took that, we put it all out there to every single one of us. And we're all of us had our own little individual candle. And when you were done, you left your candle here, but you didn't leave your light here. At least I hope not. Because the light came in to the world. See, I thought it important that we remember that God is both the light source and the life source. This light is important, but only if I tie it to the representation of who God is. God is the actual light source. In verses 6 through 8, John makes sure that we understand that he was not the light, but he tells us that he came to tell us all about the light. So here is John, and he came, and people began to try to push him into a position. He's like, understand, folks, I'm not the light. Please don't follow me. I am just a human, an individual that has come to tell you about the one true light. And why is this all important? Because light and darkness cannot coexist. You see, where there is light, there is no darkness. Even if it's just a little, minuscule amount of light, if there is any light at all, anything that light comes in contact with, darkness has to go away. And the ultimate is also true. Where there is a complete absence of light, all there is darkness. It's one of my favorite stories when my kids were little and we went to the caverns. And they take you down those deep, dark caverns. And this is at Luray Cavern. And when you get all the way down to the bottom of the cavern, and you're sitting there, and they give the parents some warning, but they're like, we're going to cut the lights out. That is darkness like you will never experience anywhere else in your life. Because when they cut those man-made lights out in that cave, you know what you have? Complete absence of light. You can put your hand up here like this, and you cannot see your hand in front of your own face. It is a complete absence of light. And we have to understand that sometimes we need to find some light. You see, spoiler alert, where there is no darkness, light disappears. Where there is an absence of light, darkness always exists. The light of the world. And he wasn't a specially designed light. A lot of times we think Jesus is for me, or Jesus is for this group, or Jesus is for this group. But you understand what John 3:16 says. It says he is the light that was designed for everybody in the world. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John is closing his introduction of Jesus, the light, with a reminder that he came physically into this world. But folks, he's also the creator of it. Now again, this blows my mind because here he is, he's a little baby in the manger. Yeah, we know how babies get here, and he had a point in time where he had a birthday, and well, he did have a death day, it's just that that didn't kind of hold with him. So we have all of this going on, and yet John tells us that he is the creator of all. You see, in this statement, John is connecting the idea that the Word and the light, they are one and the same. Jesus is the Word of God, and he is also the light to our world. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. But in that verse right there in 9:5, there is a slight little problem. And we've talked about this before. It says, while I am in the world. While I'm in the world? And you get that moment, right? Jesus lived physically on this planet for 33 years. He was crucified and buried. He rose, and well, he ascended to heaven. And you know what that means, right? Physically speaking, Jesus is no longer in this world. He left. That was the point behind it, Christmas Eve. He left this world. However, he did not leave this world in darkness. Instead, he left another light source. And that is us. That was the entire point of giving you your little candle, because now it is our job to be that light source. Unfortunately, a lot of times the church, the world looks at the church and they have a very pointed question. What light? What light? The world did not recognize him. He came into a world that was his own, but his own did not receive him. Sometimes the world looks at the church and they just can't see the light. But that's not unfamiliar to this territory, because guess what? They couldn't see it when it came to Jesus. You see, when it says they did not recognize him, if you look that word up, it means recognize is to identify someone or something from having encountered them before. It means to know again. So that when the world saw Jesus physically on this planet, they saw him, they saw the miracles, they saw everything. But they're like, you know what? We've never seen you before like this. It means to acknowledge the existence, the validity, or legality of. So they did not see Jesus as who he proclaimed to be. And I sort of get it. Because the world had never seen God in physical form before like this. In the Old Testament, God was a God behind a curtain. God told Moses, no man can look on the face of God and live. He did not come with a written label when he was born that said, I am the Messiah. He came with some announcements from angels, but nobody actually ever told the world, this is him. At least not until afterwards. And even though God himself acknowledged him, still this is God in physical form. It is a hard thing to wrap your head around it. Listen to Peter, as he tells us about this. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son in whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard the voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. So the disciples believed it, but they kind of got the inside cliff notes. They were standing on the hillside when the transfiguration took and God came down and he said, take note, this is my Son. But the rest of the world, it's a little harder to understand. This sounds like a fairy tale talk. This sounds like it'd make a really good Disney movie. God coming down to the planet just because he loves me? Sometimes it's just not that hard to understand, because Jesus was like unlike anything that they had experienced before and like we have experienced. He performed miracle
after miracle. He taught in ways that left them amazed, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 22. And that's just what we have in our textbook. You know what? In the Bible, it tells us that we don't even have the entire story, because it tells us in John chapter 21, verse 25, that if they had tried to write it all down, there wouldn't be enough pages in the world to put it out there. But in spite of all of this evidence, people just couldn't see the light. Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 through 65 read, "But Jesus remained silent. The high priest to him, I charge you under the oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to you and all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now we have heard blasphemy." You know what that tells me? A lot of people are going to see the light, but they're never going to see the light. A lot of people are going to come in contact with the light that we have to offer, given to us through Christ, but there's going to be such an easy job for us to have people to actually see the light. Instead, they find themselves dealing with their own darkness. They make a choice. They did not recognize him because they chose not to. They had all of the evidence there. It was all there for them. They chose not to receive him. Here we go. They chose not to receive him. Here's the sad point. Ultimately, they made their own decision. They chose to reject him. We have a prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. As the light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by prophets' own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And since they rejected him, ultimately, it happened. The darkness, it overtook them. Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going." And I fear a lot of times, this is us. Yes, we have Jesus. Yes, I have the light. But a lot of times I choose to blow my light out, and I head out into the world, and I'm walking in darkness. And trust me, it's not a pretty sight. I stumble, I fall. A lot of times I get lost in what I'm doing. And sometimes I just need a very simple message. How on earth do I turn the light back on in my life? How do I turn the light on in me? "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor human decision, or husband's will, but born of God." If you find yourself as you're heading into 2024, maybe the light just isn't there anymore. Maybe it's gotten a little dark in your life. I want to leave you this year with some thoughts about how you may begin to undo the darkness in your life and receive some light. And here's the first step. It's really simple. We have to hear about the light. This is the reason that when we come here on Sunday mornings, we gather around and we do a sermon, not because I'm a great speaker, because trust me, there are people in this building that speak better than I do, but because we want to gather around God's Word, Jesus, so that we can actually hear about Jesus and hear about the light. Because guess what? Ultimately, I have to see the light. I can't just hear about it. At some point, I have to take the light and put it into my life, and I have to see it at work in my own life. I have to take my step of faith, and I have to trust that God is going to do exactly what he said to do. I have to see the light. That's kind of the purpose of God's written word, so that we have something that we can physically put into our life. The Bible is like the hammer for Thor. It is a great tool that can help us hone our light. But understand, it's not the light. It's not the word of God. It's the written word of God. But the word of God, his name is Jesus. He is the light. Yeah, I get it. We love the scripture. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But that is only true if you're going to allow it to be a compass. You know, a lot of people that look at scripture and they're trying to figure out all their life things, you understand that scripture can only take you to one place. It's going to take you back into a relationship with God. If you read it long enough and you study it long enough and you look at it long enough, that is where you're going to end up. You're going to end up back there asking those questions about the light. It's going to lead you back into a relationship with Christ. And that is because it can only light the path to the light. That was the design. And if we're going to bring light back into our life, then we have to understand that we have to go seeking the light. I was having a conversation with a gentleman this week. He wants me to explain God to him. We're going to meet after the first of the year, and we're going to have some conversations. He wants me to explain God to him. It's going to be an interesting conversation, because the first thing I told him, the only way you can ever understand God is first you have to accept there's a God. He had problems with that. But you do understand the only way that you can ever find the light is first you have to acknowledge who is the light. You have to hear it, you have to see it, and you have to choose to follow it. You see, the world had a problem. They didn't recognize the light. But we can't do that. John uses this word that we call believe, and that is exactly what we're being called to do. We need to believe exactly what God is telling us about this light, that Jesus came and he gave his life. We must come to that moment when we understand that minus Jesus, our sin leaves us wandering in the darkness, because he is indeed God's light. I cannot separate light and darkness, but guess what? I cannot have darkness without light. And so if I try to do this minus Jesus, it's just not going to work. And then I must be willing to stop and step into, not as much step out of the darkness, but step into light. See, a lot of times I'm trying to turn that light on. I'm kind of like trying to do it the way I turn on a candle. You know, I pull out an alternate light source and I pull it out here and I light it up and I try to light my candle. But you understand, it's not about just lighting the light. It's about stepping out of the darkness and just stepping into the light that God has already given me. And in that moment, I get this wonderful moment. I become a child of light. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. So that means as I begin to step into the light, I begin to live in the light, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. As I step into the light, which is God and which is Jesus, I begin to understand I no longer have a part in the darkness. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. That's an important moment. When I find myself wandering in the darkness, it's because I have chosen to step out of what God has given. It is not where I belong. You knew I was going to get back to this eventually, right? Because in the end, that's what it means to live in the world, but not of the world. Yes, I still walk and I have the darkness all around me. Yes, I still have to deal with my own sin issues. No, I am not perfect. Yes, I make mistake after mistake after mistake, and I make bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. But here's the good news. The moment I decide I'm done with that and I step, it's just a step. I don't have to go chasing after God across continent and across time. I don't have to remember a bunch of scriptures. I don't have to remember. It is just one step, and the light is waiting for me to step back into it. Because Jesus has come. He is the light of the world. And so the only thing I have to figure out is what is my relationship with the light. When Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As Rich alluded to, this is New Year's Eve, and when we're all done, we're going to find ways to celebrate. A lot of those celebrations are going to involve lights. But does your celebration involve the one true light? Are you willing to acknowledge the fact that we live in a world where I struggle with darkness, my own darkness? And more importantly, am I willing to step out of that darkness and accept the light that God sent and receive the one true light?